expectation, and God's going to do something great in this place. God, I know your presence is here in the midst of us, God, and we just are here to lift you up. We give you all the glory, Lord. Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. And I've tried with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond.
I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart. He changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God.
Whoa! I cannot deny what I've seen. I've got no choice but to believe. Doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends. Oh, burden and bitterness, you can't just keep them moving. No, you're not welcome here.
The Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart. He changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
We have a lot to be thankful for today. Hallelujah, Lord. Everybody say, get up.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Hallelujah.
Gave me a reason to dance.
Hallelujah.
Gave me a reason to dance. Hallelujah.
Gave me a reason.
He gave me a reason.
Gave me a reason to dance.
Hallelujah.
Gave me a reason to dance.
Hallelujah.
Gave me a reason to dance.
I'm dancing out of my grave clothes. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Morning's here and I'm grateful for the Savior God up in victory.
I'm dancing out of my grave clothes. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Morning's here and I'm grateful for the Savior God up in victory. I'm dancing out of my grave clothes. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Morning's here and I'm grateful for the Savior God up.
Get up out of that grave.
Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Put it all, if I feel your heart but never see your name. Of his people. All right, with that being said, why don't we just show them how excited we are? Why don't you turn to somebody near you and tell them how much you love them, how much you're happy to see them here today on this snowy Sunday morning. And while you guys are all doing that, I'm going to go over one short and sweet announcement. If you have a teen going to Midwinter, which is February 6th through the 7th, again, Midwinter, February 6th through the 7th, please have them register ASAP to get the reduced price, which ends tomorrow. You can do so by going to www.ohiodistrict.com. And that's all I have for you guys today. And with that being said, we're happy to have each and every one of you here with us. And I'm going to have the ushers come up. And let's pray over this offering just before we give. Thank you. Thank the Lord for what he's about to do. So everyone, would you just pray over the offerings, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done. Lord God, I know that you're going to do something amazing with what we give to the church. Oh, dear Father, I thank you all for being here, and just continue to praise him.
To our seats, to the front, wherever you want. We're in the presence of the Lord, and we know that there is freedom in this place. I thank you for freedom. Yeah. Step out of the shadows. Step out of the grave. Break into the wild, and don't be afraid. You can run into wide open spaces. Grace is waiting for you. You can dance like the weight has been lifted. Oh, grace is waiting. Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom. There is freedom.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom.
There is freedom. Come out of the dark,
just as you are, into the fullness of his love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom, let there be freedom.
Bring all of your burdens, bring all of your stars. Run into wide open spaces. Great. there be freedom in this place. Oh, we know there's freedom in your presence. Cause chains will fall and prison shake at the sound of Jesus' name. Lives made whole and hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. Cause chains will fall and prison shake at the sound of Jesus' name. Every life can be made whole. Hearts awake
at the sound.
Every chain will fall, cause chains will fall, and prisons shake at the sound of Jesus' name. And lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. It's in your name.
Come on, why don't we just call on the name of Jesus? Jesus, everything we need is in your name. We're thankful for the name. Cause where the Spirit of the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom,
there is freedom.
Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness
of
this. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom. For your freedom.
Thank you for your freedom, God.
You can praise like the weight has been lifted. Grace is waiting for you. You can praise like the weight has been lifted. Oh, grace is waiting. You can dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it. You can dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it. He did it. You can dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it.
He did it.
He did it.
He did it.
You can dance like the weight has been lifted.
He did it.
He did it.
He did it.
He did it.
You can shout like
the chains have been broken.
Like you and me, that's love, that's love, that's love. Sing it, they hung him high, they hung him high, they stretched him wide. He hung his head, for me he died. That's love, that's love, that's love.
But that's not where the story ends,
cause that's not how the story ends. Cause 3 days later, he rose again. That's love, that's love, that's love.
See, that's not how the story ends.
Cause that's not how the story ends. Cause 3 days later, he rose again. That's love, that's love, that's love.
Where the Spirit of the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom in this
place. There is freedom.
Come out of the dark,
just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom. Let there be freedom.
Thank you.
Doesn't matter what you came into this place facing. His presence is here and he's able to break it. He's able to make a way. Oh God, I believe in you. I believe in you. I feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, move. When you have your way, something has to break. Tear down every lie. Set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. Something has to break. Oh, right now in your name, something has to break. Your hands and say, God, I give it to you.
We're not going to break this on our own. We're not going to face this on our own. But it's going to be by His strength. It's going to be by His might. It's going to be by His power. So right now, why don't we just take some time and let's surrender those things to the Lord. God, I know You see this problem. God, I know You see the situation. God, I know that You're aware of it. God, I take it out of my hands and I place it in Your hands because it's better there. Oh God, I surrender. I surrender.
Of the Lord is so real here today. Praise God, praise God. Are you thankful to be in the house of the Lord? Shout amen. And you may be seated. It's good to see each and every one of you. I know many are battling sicknesses and unable to make it. And my wife now is sick, so pray for her and pray for the various ones today that are unable to be here. pray God's healing on them, and the touch of the Lord is here. Job chapter 23. Job declared it. Oh, that I knew how to find him, that I might come to his home. Job went on in to say, with maybe a little bit of frustration, Job chapter 23 and verse 8, the Bible reads, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I do not perceive him." It's as if he had taken a breath and encouraged himself a little bit, or at the very least, he attempted to encourage himself. Job chapter 23:10 reads, "But he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come out as gold." God knows the exact way that you and I take. He has ascertained that information about you because he's been in relationship with you. I'm telling you today that God knows where you are. I like verse 11, for the Bible reads, "My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside." One translation reads like this, "I put my footsteps in his footprints." Who's ever taught your kids on how to walk when you put their feet on top of your feet? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I mean, it sometimes they get a little wild and they start jumping on you a little bit. But this is exactly what Job was attempting to say to us, that whenever I couldn't take a step, I simply put my footsteps in his footprints. I let him carry me. Wherever he stepped, I stepped. Wherever he walked, I walked. I'm telling you today, your after this, hear me, is coming. Your breakdown is a set up for God's breakthrough. Would you shout yes? He knows the way that I take. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9 reads, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him." I've said this so often that this scripture is not necessarily promoting the thought or the idea that God's eyes are rolling around. Are you glad about that? I mean, I don't want us to walk out of here and see Jesus with googly eyes. You know, them little eyeballs that, you know, just move all around. Anybody know what I'm talking about? No. That's not what that's meaning, but rather this means God sees. The Bible says, "He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps." I say to us today that he knows the journey that you're on. Proverbs 15 and 3 reads, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Psalms 34 and verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Proverbs 5 and 21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." The Lord is thinking about you. Just when you thought your situation is beyond view or just beyond his reach, 1 Peter 3 and 12 reads, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." There was a song many years ago that was penned that God is watching us from a distance, but I propose that it is much more than that. Are we just merely some sort of conglomeration of cells that inhabit this earth with no one other than ourselves to have to deal with life and have no means to an end? Is our existence measured by merely the breaths that we take and the heart that beats with anxieties and face trouble all alone? I say on the contrary, that Jesus knows the way that we take. And when our heart is overwhelmed, David said it, "Lead me to the rock, lead me to the fortress, lead me to the strength that is higher than I." How many's ever felt like that, that you've placed in the circumstances you found yourself and you've wondered and looked around and said, "Where's God at in this?" Come on, how many be human enough to admit that? Why don't you just, in your best acting voice, just kind of look around and say, where's God at in all of this? Man, I just noticed that the guys were kind of chilled and the ladies were a little more drama filled. I ain't even going to go there. My wife's homesick, so I better stay on good behavior. But Job, my heart goes out to this man. We know the end of his life was greater than his beginnings, but could you imagine being Job? I mean, Job lost his job for Pete's sake. There's no way of truly describing his life outside of the moments of feeling overwhelmed and fearful. See, being overwhelmed means that something is too much or almost too much for someone to manage. It can also mean that someone is completely overcome or overpowered by a thought or even a feeling. When something is too much to deal with, it can be described as overwhelming. To feel overwhelmed is the engulfing feeling of dread or worry, often related to responsibilities, self-expectations, relationships, health concerns, and more. I Googled this question. What does an overwhelmed heart look like? One person said it like this, and I quote, often feeling overwhelmed is as uncomfortable as it is uncontrollable. It rears its head as anxiety, anger, significant irritability and worry, doubt and helplessness, and also make their way into a person's normal thought process. Dr. Romanoff states that when asked what triggers the feeling of being overwhelmed, she states, a precipitating stressor, an unexpected event, or poor health, mental health can cause you to feel overwhelmed. She begins to explain that you may also feel overwhelmed if a series of stressors accumulate and pile up on you. A lack of coping skills can also exacerbate symptoms. She's saying that one thing added upon another thing just adds to the stress. One medical finding states this: stress is on the rise. According to a recent study by the American Psychological Association, nearly one in four adults rated their stress levels at an 8 or higher on a 10-point scale, a sharp increase from just a few years ago. That's one in four. Think about those around you. Right now, there's somebody among us, more than one or two, that would rate their stress as an 8 out of 10. Anyone ever feel like that? Someone say, amen, it's okay. Lie, you fry. But there's those, and there's us, there's life, there's humans, where we have no idea how to proceed, if you should, how you could, and then add the fear of the unknown to the entire thing. You're at your wit's end. And when you have an overwhelming situation, there is a God, hear me today, who can be whatever we need him to be at that very moment. Would you clap your hands and say amen? I am by far no doctor, certainly not a clinician by any means, but it appears that Job was under pressure. He felt overwhelmed. He felt pain. He stressed, and more than likely, he felt overlooked. Anybody ever read the book of Job? I mean, if you're wanting to be encouraged, don't read that book. If you're wanting to feel like misery loves company, read that book. That just describes, though, humanity and life today. Life in all of its complexities, many times, it leaves us feeling emotionally drained and physically exhausted and spiritually depleted. We measure our days by checking off tasks, meeting expectations, completing to-do lists, and appointments kept. But you see, deep down inside, there's a weariness that doesn't seem to fade. The weight of the world, it presses on our shoulders. And no matter how hard we try, it feels that we're just not enough, never quite measuring up. There are those days, folks, where if we are to be honest, we find ourselves at the end of our proverbial ropes, throwing our hands in the air and asking, Jesus, don't you even see where I'm at? Jesus, do you even care about me? Come on, somebody, say amen. You see, this faith walk that we have, that we are embarking on, it's much more difficult when blind faith is required to move forward. When all you hear is, trust me. That's pretty tough when you think about it. Job described his life as a life with no hope. Reading Job chapter 7, verse 1, modern translation reads like this: human life is a struggle, isn't it? It's a life sentenced to hard labor, life fields hands longing for quitting time and working stiffs with nothing to hope for but payday. I'm giving a life that meanders and goes nowhere. Months of aimlessness, nights of misery. I go to bed and think, how long till I have to get up? I toss and turn as the nights drag on and I'm fed up. Again, I say, if you're wanting to be encouraged, don't read Job. I mean, here he's saying it. He's, how long? You go to bed and you're wondering, man, if I go to bed, that means I'm going to have to wake up in the morning. Huh? He said it's like field hands, workers who sit there, they start the day, and when they start the day, they're already thinking about when the day's going to end. I mean, I don't even have to feel like hopeless and think that. Start projects and you're like, man, I can't wait till this is done. You start that honey-do list, come on somebody, and you're like, man, I can't wait till this baby's done. And then you look and the list just gets longer miraculously. Amen. Well, that's good preaching right there. I don't even know what you're talking about. But again, there are those days where we find ourselves at the end of our ropes wondering, Jesus, can you see me? These are not just rhetorical questions we ask in passing, but truly they are the cries of a heart that feels abandoned, overwhelmed, and desperate for reassurance. And hear me today, when life feels like it's too much, it's easy to question God and ask if he truly understands the depth of our struggles. Yet it's in these moments of questioning or frustration and feeling lost, we've got to be reminded that God is not distant from us, but God knows the way that we take. Jesus doesn't look at us with an indifference when we have more questions than we do answers. We may not always understand his timing or his methods, yet he never leaves us. Luke chapter 12, 6-7 reads, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are more value than many sparrows. You see, art is numbered. It proves to be valuable when it's numbered. And the Bible says that even the very hairs of our head are numbered, meaning that you and I are more valuable than we think we are. Psalms 37:24, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Verse 26, he is ever merciful. I'm thankful today that he is ever merciful. I'm thankful today that he's ever faithful. He's just. He knows exactly what you and I need. He is ever, ever merciful. Psalms 103:13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion on those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He knows our frame, which means our intentions. It actually means our frame of mind. He remembers that you and I are but merely dust. He knows what you and I can handle. Verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. He understands the frailty of life. For the wind passes over and is gone, and it places it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is everlasting to everlasting. His love, hear me today, knows no boundaries. I'm thankful today that our Heavenly Father has no boundaries. His mercy is from everlasting, but his love endures forever. Lamentations 3:21, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, which really means he's all I need, says the soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. You see, Jeremiah in this little text here, when he said, when I stopped and started considering everything, there was new mercy in the morning, and God is all I need. He's everything you need. Look at somebody right now and say, he's everything I need. Turn around, look at somebody, mean it now, say, he's everything you need. He's everything. He's everything you need. See, the first few verses of the book of Job describes a man of great integrity. He's got great integrity. He's being who he says he is when no one's looking. He has integrity to God. He has integrity to his family. And he has integrity to his community. Job chapter 1, verse 1 reads, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. The Bible reads that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a large staff of servants. The Bible doesn't give us a number on how many he has of those. One translation states it like this, Job 1 and 3, he was the most influential man in all the East. He was consumed with serving the Lord and making him a priority. Scripture even states that he would offer sacrifices for his children for a just in case they had cursed God or sinned in their hearts, knowingly or unknowingly. That's dedication right there. I mean, could you imagine repenting for your kids and you didn't even do the wrong? We're unsure of the age of both Job and his offspring in Scripture, but it does appear that his children had homes of their own, according to Job 1 and 4, and were quite committed, not to just their family, but to each other. He's a family man. He's a man of great reputation. Job is a man that took serving the Lord to the letter of the law and served him wholeheartedly. I need us to understand here today that Job appears that he was doing everything right. Say that. Job did everything right. Job chapter 29 and verse 12 supports that thought. I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Job 29:15, I was eyes to the blind and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor. He helped the widows. He helped the blind, and he would gladly take the lame and carry them to where they needed to go. And he said, I was a father to the poor. Job, he lived a righteous life. Job 1 and 2, he was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. Solomon, though, he describes life so well. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 through 5, one translation, modern translation, reads like this. Anything, though, is possible. It's one fate for everybody, righteous and wicked, good people, bad people, the nice and the nasty, worshipers and non-worshipers, committed and uncommitted. I find this outrageous. The worst thing about living on this earth, that everyone's lumped together in one fate. Is it any wonder that so many people are obsessed with evil? Is it any wonder that people go crazy right and left? Life leads to death. That's it. Verse 11 and 12. I took another walk around the neighborhood and realized that on this earth as it is, the race is not always given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor satisfaction to the wise, nor riches to the smart, nor grace to the learned. Sooner or later, he says this, bad luck hits us all, and no one can predict misfortune. What an outlook, right? Maybe if you want to not be encouraged, read Ecclesiastes chapter 2 now. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. In other words, it will rain on your parade at some time in your life. Not everything will go the way you want. Good, bad, sickness and health, it'll happen to us all. Some would say amen. I'm going to preach a pause and make sure we know this, that in spite of what is happening in this world, hear me today, you and I can have peace. You and I can have God-given joy in the Holy Ghost. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Take heart today. Walk out of here knowing it might be falling apart, but it's really falling in place. Joy comes in the morning. You can overcome it because God is in you. John 16:33, I have said these things to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And if Jesus is fighting for you, who can fight against you? Who can stand against you? See, Job, he's doing everything right. It seems that his reward was to suffer tribulation and hurts and emotional highs and lows. Life has a way of beating us down, doesn't it? I know, I'm real encouraging, aren't I? I've been reading the book of Job all week. Yeah, my fun meter hit 10. Job chapter 1:13. Watch this. There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. It's terrible. Watch this. While he was yet speaking, the Bible says, verse 16, there came another one and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And yet I alone have escaped to tell you. And it's just one thing after another, because while that one was speaking, another one ran in and said, there came another and said, the Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camp and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Guess what verse 18 reads like? While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness, struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Remember what hopelessness, they describe hopelessness as, is if one event piles upon another event. I mean, can you imagine now how Job had to feel? We're unsure of the entirety of the days of Job that he had suffered. We know his sufferings began suddenly and began violently. What appears as one day his whole world collapses. His wealth is gone. His prestige is gone. His property's gone. And worse yet, his beloved children were taken from him. I couldn't imagine that pain. Notice Job chapter 1:20. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 22, in all of this tribulation, in all of this trouble, in all of the trials, in losing his prestige, in losing his properties, in losing his own family, the Bible says that Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Then, all of that happened. He loses one thing after another. In Job chapter 2, it starts real encouraging as well. Someone say amen. Job chapter 2, 7 says, Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he ate in ashes. Someone's hungry, aren't you? Not now. Verse number 9 reads, Then his wife said to him, Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, You speak as one of the foolish women who would speak. Shall we receive good from God and not receive evil? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. So not only did he lose one thing after another, chapter 2 begins to tell us that now he has been touched. His physical body has been touched from head to toe with sores. Anybody ever have like a boil or a sore you want to admit to? No one's like, I ain't doing that. I did the unfortunate thing, and I think this is probably why I do what I do. Are you ready for it? I got MRSA. Not once, not twice, but 5 times. You want to know where I picked it up at? No, not the hospital. Not the church. The gym. And now today I don't go to the gym. And I tell my wife it's because I don't want MRSA. That's a good excuse. I told you I bought a membership. And I went there one time to the gym. When I opened that account, I was so excited, I went and celebrated and got Dairy Queen. I really did. You can't go wrong with a nice, no, I better not. But could you imagine now the sores from head to toe, and the only relief he can get is to take broken pottery and scrape it to ease the pain that's festering from head to toe. Feeling so broken and battered, hurting physically and yet feeling emotionally painful. Pain. Now his wife, the one closest to him, speaks out. And she says, I can't believe you still want to serve the Lord. Do you still maintain that God is still good and that he deserves your undying commitment? Why don't you just curse God and die? The one that shared the battles with him. We can't really blame her. We can't blame Job's wife for feeling pain and emotionally spent. She just lost her children. We can't blame even Job for even wondering where's God at in all of this. But then she says to him, why don't you still think God's good? I mean, when you read Job, I mean, I'm telling you. You sit there and you say, man, this joker went through this. I don't know, but it's as if Job could be heard singing a song that all my life you have been faithful. Come on, somebody. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. Curse God and die. And he says, no, you are always, always, always on time. There's never been a day, never been a moment. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you today, there's never been a day, there's never been a moment that God does not see your pain, that God doesn't understand your hurts. You might be up and down, but you're going to come out on the other side. Would you clap your hands and shout hallelujah? Come on, somebody, clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Time doesn't permit us to walk through the entire book of Job, the questions that he had proposed. I could say that after reading the entire book of Job, his emotions are easily identifiable. He's desperately trying to understand the reason for his suffering, and again he searched his heart, his words, his actions, but found no explanation. His frustration erupted in lamenting, Job chapter 7 and 11. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Job, he longed for clarity, even inviting correction. Job 10 and 2, show me wherefore thou contentest with me. Tell me the charges you have against me. You see, his friends come along and they judge him when it seemed as if heaven was silent and the absence of answer seemed to intensify his pain. Job says this, Job 23, 9. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. Verse 10, but he knows the way that I take. The musicians want to come. The singers, you could pause. Just need one of you today. Said, my foot has held fast to your steps. I have kept his way. And I'm not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than any portion of food. Hear me today. I don't know what you're facing this week or the news you have to endure, the pain or even the loss. But he knows the way that you take. Again, I just finished the book of Job, and these words, they leapt out at me. Job chapter 42 and verse 10. And the Lord, let's all stand. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. You'll find it in the book of Job. It was his friends that were judging him. There's got to be sin in your life. Can I just say this, that every problem doesn't mean you have sin in your life. There's some people that are looking for a devil around every corner, and they're always looking to see what's wrong with me. Why is this happening? Solomon said, life happens to everyone. Jesus said, it's going to rain on the just and the unjust. You're going to get wet in a storm, whether you serve him or not. The difference is who you have in your life. Job 42 and 10, and the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before, which lets me know that God gave him double for his trouble. Job 42 and 12, and the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Scripture even goes as far as to say, them 3 babies, them 3 girls, there was no one like them. They were good looking. I don't know how they describe that, but that's what the Bible says. Here's the verse that I want us to walk out with and carry it with us today. Job 42 and verse 16. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons 4 generations. Everybody say, after this. You see, your after this moment is coming. After this. After everything that went on, folks. After this, after the hurt and the pain. After this, after the emotional ups and downs. After this, the Bible says, after the misunderstandings and judgments by others. Job determined in his heart that no matter what, he was going to serve the Lord. Is there anybody here today that has an after? You're ready for an after this moment. Come on. This altar's open right now. Is there anybody that has gone through some struggles and some trials, and maybe you're even in it right now? I want to tell you that your miracle, your restoration is contingent on your integrity today. After this, Job lived. There is life after your struggle. Hear me today. There is hope after your trouble. And there is hope after your pain. Come on, lift your hands all across this place. The Lord knows the way that you take. I looked left and right. I didn't know where he was. But God knows the way that I take. He knows my journey. He knows my pain. He knows my ups, my emotions, my downs. Come on, let's begin to worship the Lord and sing it.